Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch Up. Here's your host, Tom King.
One of three clubs in the region that unfortunately had their season not finished the way they hoped, a losing grand final in 2019. Of course, it was Thompson in the GDFL. We've spoken with them. In the GFL, it was Colac. We spoke with Rowan McSparran. It's now time to touch on Torquay, who made it all the way to their second grand final in 3 years, but couldn't win their second flag in 3 years. And don't know how that sits 18 months on with their coach, Dom Gleeson, but we're about to find out because he's been good enough to join us on the latest edition of the Coaches Catch Up. Dom, great to talk to you. And how does it sit 18 months on?
Great to be here, Kingy. It was sitting well until you brought it up again. 18 months seems like a lifetime ago, but I have to say I did refresh the memory last Saturday morning and went through the process of watching it again. Probably one, starved the footy a bit, and the second, I just wanted to see if I could find some answers and see if we're on the right track in pre-season. And it's very fortunate to play in three grand finals in the space of 6 years, so very proud of that fact. And Torquay is my hometown now, so losing grand finals hurts, but what it does allow us to do this year, hopefully we get through a year without any blemishes, but gives another chance to have a go at it.
You watched the grand final last week. How many times have you watched it in its entirety?
I've watched this one a fair few times. It's funny, I didn't watch the first one we lost at all. I just couldn't bring myself to. There's a fair bit happened on that day to some friends, close friends, and you start questioning what you could have done to stop it or... just balls some stuff inside of you that you don't want to revisit against the Ammos. And then it's 2017, I think I've watched that a couple of times since just with some mates or whether it be the team on the Sunday after the game.
Yep.
And this one I've watched quite a few times. I watched it the night of, just got home and couldn't really sleep and just wanted to find some answers and watched it on my phone. So the quality wasn't awesome. But yep. Watched it prior to last season. The exercise like I did the other day, just to find some answers and see if our pre-season's been up to scratch and, what we did and didn't do well on that day because that's what counts. And, that'd be probably the fourth time I watched it last Saturday. And, I thought, kudos to Barnheads. I just had one of those days and we had the opposite. We only just lost, so... We've got an improvement on that, and I think we've done that with who we've recruited and what we're focused on throughout the preseason.
Would you agree Barn Heads is still a team to beat, and do you feel you've addressed some of those areas that will make you competitive against them in 2021?
Yeah, so putting teams together, first of all, the question, Barn Heads, yes. I think they're always going to be hard to beat. They've got a great junior program, coached by two guys that I've said many times that I do respect and I've played with or played under.
Yep.
So I know they'll be doing everything in their power to do so. I think they've recruited really well as well, which is scary who they can fit in. And then secondly, have we improved and have we addressed it? I certainly think we have. We introduced Sam Caruso from up the north of Victoria. He's come down living and working and that was for 2020 season, and Lucas Anderson, but we just haven't seen enough of them. Didn't see any of them last year, but what we've seen of them through the practice matches we've played and at training, they're really setting a standard. And then on top of that, we felt like we just needed to put some youth into the side and a bit of speed, and our junior programs, we got teams everywhere and kids everywhere. There's now two teams down there, so we're competing against another team to keep our kids, and always been a real issue trying to keep our players aspirational for one, but then locally for another, because GFL clubs are poaching the top kids, which I'm all for. I won't stop a kid who's aspirational wanting to play a high level, but it's very hard when you develop them and they do leave your town, but we've held on to a couple. Just purely on they've got a good job. Their focus is more to play with their mates, and so I'm excited about unleashing them this year.
All right, so last year, Caruso from Wangaratta Rovers
yep.
played some Murray Bush Rangers. You get Lucas Anderson from St. Joseph's, played some good Ballarat footy, flag with St. Joey's, and all of a sudden you've got a key forward. And, correct me if I'm wrong, you've got McMahon and Henderson there, but they're not your dominant marking key forward. McMahon can mark the footy, but in terms of a focal point, I think Anderson gives you a different look up forward. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Yeah, I think Lucas has got the ability to play at the ground. I think his running capacity, he owns a gym in Torquay, so he's fit as a fiddle.
Yep.
So, yeah, really excited about what he can do. I think we'll see him up the ground and not necessarily back in the forward line all the time. And then in regards to McMahon, I don't think there's a better forward in the competition. So I know it might be one-eyed in that, but I haven't seen a better local football, to be honest, just with his hands and his ability to play. So I think we've got a great forward line. Billy Henderson, pretty similar to Lucas. I'd like to get him away from goal. I think he uses the ball really well. So and then Sam Caruso, very similar to Bill. So yeah, those additions, those two additions that started last year were really exciting, but I think we've added onto that with our youth. I know you're going to go through a list of names that we've recruited shortly, but I think what I'm most excited about are our Kane Loftus, who's just a colt who just grew up through our junior program. Whether he plays round one or not, he'll definitely get an opportunity throughout the year. He's just raw. We've got a Nathan Misford who some GFL clubs have been calling, and you know, he's captained our Colts program, and he's just come through the ranks and is really excited about playing, and he'll certainly line up round one. Then you've got the likes of Waylon Doyle, who won the what's that called, the what did he win last 2019? He won the Rising Star Award. So we've just got
these
kids.
It's a great name, Waylon Doyle, too.
Yeah.
He sounds like a US country singer.
Yeah, well, they call him Big Country. So, yeah, well, he calls himself that, along with some other things. So, yeah, so that's what I'm excited about. And I know you'll go through the list of names and you know, the message that we're trying to get out to this to our group is we didn't actively go out and recruit some of these people. They actually knocked on our doorstep and said, I live in the area now, my work's moved me down here, or I've bought a house down here. Can I play? And it's pretty hard to deny, one, first of all, a good person for our community, and then secondly, the opportunity to play at Torquay. So,
Hard to sit in a town that everybody wants to live in, isn't it?
Well, I think everyone does at the moment, King. It's exploded down there. But, yeah, it's we're really proud of how we have recruited in the past. But, you know, I have to sell this message to the playing group and the supporters that, you know, we are under point issues.
Yep.
So we're going to have to rotate our point carriers, and the players, I believe, understand that.
Yep.
But the more they stay there, the more they reduce their points, the more opportunity they get.
Do you get some that will have shed some points with that 2-point reduction? So the likes of McMahon will have, you know, dropped off the 2?
Yeah, so he goes down to 2. Cal Curry drops a couple of points. So he was very heavy his first year.
So he's back to a 2?
I think he's a 3, okay. My so last
came
look.
Came as a 5.
Came as a 5, yep. Yeah. And then We've Zach Hopper.
Yep.
He was still carrying points, but
he'd almost be back to a 1.
He's a 1 now, yep. So yeah, we're really proud of the fact that we've got him from a 5 to a 1.
Yep.
Just through, you know, sheer holding on, and he went through a lot of injuries and considered maybe going home and playing back there potentially, and yeah, he's hung around.
Saker.
Yeah, so Sake is still there. Sake's was so, down last night.
He'd be a 3?
3 now.
Yep.
Yeah, my last count. Yeah, so I think, you know, overall, our best side, if you're putting it on paper, could be quite heavy.
Yep.
But, again, players like Lockie Bonney, who's just, you know, arrived on our doorstep, yep. A Cooper Hurd, who you'll go through. I know I'm probably stealing your light here. Yeah, it's really hard to say no when they've got a job or they've moved to the area because of their work. Potentially, you know, do they want to play anywhere else? No, not really. They want to play in the town that they live in.
Yep.
I know Anglesey's down the road, and I know that Bowen Heads isn't far away, but they all want to play for Torquay.
Yep. Wormy would have been back to a 1 as well.
He's been there for a while.
Yep.
He and I have been 1s now for a few years, yeah. Yep.
Okay, so we do talk about recruits. We touched on a couple of additions last year, but the other one is the 2-time Ash medalist in James Dark.
Yeah.
Is a massive inclusion, 1-pointer. And the other one is you get Ben McNamara back from St. Joseph's, had a stint obviously at the Falcons, played in a flag, a couple of flags at Joey's, played with Werribee as well,
yep.
1-pointer. So you get a class on baller, and you get a key defender, and they're both 1-pointers, which you must be just licking your lips at the prospect of those two.
We feel very blessed for both of them. You know, James came back after spending some time overseas teaching and came back and applied for a job at Surf Coast Secondary, and we tried to pull in all the stops to get him a job, but it just, you know, in teaching industry, it's not who you know, it's what you know.
Yep.
So he got that on his own merit, which we're just praying for.
Yep.
And because he said, if I get a job locally, I'll play.
Yep.
So to get him and his leadership, and I mean, I've seen Darkie grow up since he was probably 17, 18,
yeah.
And just watching him grow and into a true-blown leader and midfielder. And then you mentioned Ben McNamara. That was literally a conversation that I had with his now boss, Steve Dunstan, and he said, hey, have you had a chat to Ben McNamara yet? And all these, you know, I haven't, and I think I might have the wrong phone number.
Yeah.
So I've been texting this Ben for the last 3 years with the wrong phone number.
No.
Just see how he's going, and I wasn't getting any reply back. We'd often see each other. He was often at the bowls club, working there while he was studying law, and yeah. And then he said, "I've jumped ship. I'm going to be a builder."
He's gone from law to building.
Yeah.
Wow.
And by all reports, he was clocking law. But he was looking out the window one day and said, "It's not for me." So he's now a builder, and he'd be a really good one with what I know of him so far. But we played him as a kid when he was 17, when he really wanted to play Geelong Falcons at the time. And I said, well, you need to be playing senior footy with us. And played a couple of games, and then we didn't see him again. He went into the Falcons. Then I was really pumped to see him. I watched his first game, a couple of games at Werribee. And and then he went to Joey's, and I thought he could have won the best on ground one of those games.
Yeah, he had a couple of cracking grand finals. He's a good player. A couple of others, Max Hurley also back, one pointer.
Yep.
Spent some time playing in Perth. Davey Allett travelled, I think, with Darkie.
Yep.
And was coming back, but I believe life has taken him to Melbourne, talking to Ben Raidmeier the other day.
Yeah, so he's gone to Melbourne to live with his partner, which is, you know, really good for him. He's been a Torquay boy all his life, and have no doubt we'll get him back. But the big city's calling him, so he'll stay up there. And Hurls, unfortunately, he went travelling Australia and got stuck in Perth in 2019, I think, because of the love of it. Started playing footy, hurt himself. So he actually got home to watch our grand final.
Yep.
And I think something inside him stirred him. So he's hung around, and he's now a fully fledged plumber, and had a bit of an interrupted pre-season. We're only starting to see him now, but he'll certainly play a role.
Fantastic. All right, you've mentioned Lockie Bonney, and talk to us about him. As you said, just rolled on your doorstep.
Yeah, literally. I'm saying literally a lot. That's the kids on me and the influence. It was almost, I believe he got in contact with us through our website. And he came down, and I just Googled his name, and up comes a couple of time premiership player, Strathfield Say, who'd been living in Melbourne, who in 2019 played in the reserve. So I thought, oh, I don't know what I'm getting. There was no age written. So he came down, and he's been a shining light in our pre-season. I see him as a sort of a inside mid, half-forward flanker, dangerous goal kicker. But again, you know, the conversation with him, it was, you know, you're carrying points.
So he'll be a four?
He's a four, yeah. Just as long as you're here for the right reasons, and he's just a gentleman. So he's fitting in really well, and you know, he'll play a big part for us.
Yep. Cooper Hurd will also carry four coming from the Wimmera League. Is that right?
I think he might be a bit lower than that. He might be a three.
Yep.
But Hurdy, was working for one of our players, Joel Fitzpatrick, who started his own business. Cooper was leading the Ballarat area for him, and then work's just got so busy for him, for those guys in Torquay, so he's moved down for work. And next minute I get a call from Pitsy saying, I think I've got a player for you.
What, another one?
Yeah, which, again, young kid. I think he'd be 22, 23 maybe. Maybe even younger, but yeah, just he's blown us away, particularly during the practice matches. And being a three-pointer, and at that age, it's hard to deny one more year, and he's a two-pointer. And
yep.
And I think the best thing about everyone you've mentioned there is, contrary to what people think about salary caps, it's a real deal. It's a real concern for local football clubs, whether they can actually afford it or whether they actually are paying that rate. And our conversation is, you know, if you're here for the right reasons, you'll play for unders what you're worth. Yep. And I think that's what Torquay Footy Club can provide. They'll provide a community, like all football clubs, but there's the gone are the days where you can pay them what their worth is. Yeah. So we know we've got these kids for the right reasons and these recruits. And from, you know, Lucas Anderson, Benny, it wasn't a conversation around money, which was, you know, as a coach, you've got the right people on board. Yeah.
Nico Farrell from Ballarat Swans, you've done all right out of that region over the journey with some of your players.
Yeah, it's a holiday destination, Torquay, for all the Ballarat. So that they've grown up in Ballarat in the school holidays and in summer. So, yeah, Nick's grandparents live down there. And Nick's halfway through building a home. So it was deciding whether he stays in Ballarat and travels across to Ballarat, or does he stay and align himself with some good mates down in Ballarat, in Torquay.
Okay, yep.
And he's chosen the latter. Nick's actually going to be out for a couple of weeks. He's just had a hernia operation, going in for a hernia. So we won't see the best of him. But, yeah, again, a point carrier. But, again, here for the right reasons.
He'll be a four.
He's a four.
Yep. Tom Yench from Lavington, is that the Saker link? Has Sakes got some eyes on him over the journey?
Yeah, Sakesy and him are great mates. I think Sakesy got him a job in Melbourne where Yench and his partner were moving. And then, yeah, just said, do you want to come down and play with him? And so they come down the highway and train with us. And Yench's, you know, a young ruckman who's, you know, I think... someone we've been striving to recruit, and since, you know, losing Hoves when we did, back to Joey. So we've got him, and he'll play, as I've said about every player, a really big part for us because he'll support Waylon Doyle, sort of the undersized ruckman, and Yench will go in as the big boy.
Okay. The $64,000 question, how much football does the number two play this year?
Yeah, I envisage playing a fair bit now. I think previous... talks with you, I sort of zumming and ahhing, but I do look at the squad a lot and I go, Jesus, there is some kids. If there is any way that I'm stopping them, and if I hear any murmurings of that, I will rest or put step aside. The fact is, King, I love footy and I love playing it, and for as long as I can, I will. As I said to my coaching group, they need to be really honest, and they are brutally honest. So they'll tell me where I'm at if I'm not getting a kick. And I still feel like my role will change. I probably won't be as inside midfielder as I would like.
Forward pocket?
Yeah, I think forward and back, maybe trying to better myself as a backman, maybe on a wing. I just think the youth in our midfield is very good, and we've got to really share that load because I feel there's been a couple of us holding the brunt of that. And hopefully it just allows me to get through the year and develop these kids because I do feel there is a spot for a coach out in the ground, and we have got a number of them, but we've just got to improve ourselves by 10% so we're going to override the opposition.
Will this be your last year as a player? Or
yeah, I don't like putting a ceiling on it. Hate talking to birth dates, and this is a conversation that I've had with Roscoe Holmes, who... he will play round one and a lot of footy with us this year.
He back to a 1 point in our roster?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. You know, his ability to get his body up and he's still winning. If we were to have a time trial, he'd be top five. He wins all the sprints. He wins the contested footy. He wins the outside footy. He often comes to me and says, do I need to step aside and not on my watch? I really need him to one, support me in that age bracket, but two, just be there for the kids. And he's got the great temperament and just leads by example. So, I think it will be. But, I said going to this year I wasn't going to play, but on the eve I'm going to.
Yeah. Has Roscoe said, look, it's a 10-year reunion of the Queenscliff flag in 2011. Has he come to you and said, look, when that is, I'm not playing?
Yeah, well, he can get grace for that. I think there's not too many reunions these days. But, you know what, I think the person he is, he'll ask, is it okay? I think you're exactly right. He'll say, can I not play, or or I'd like to play. Can I leave straight after the game?
Yeah,
he's a good guy.
All right. Your coaching, you love your footy. You've got it. Have you still got aspirations to go higher and, you know, test, you know, as you did, you know, you got as high as playing, you know, AFL reserves and, you know, VFL, a lot of great VFL footy. Do you want to take the coaching pathway a bit further than, you know, a VFL senior coach? And not there's anything wrong with that.
But. Yep. For the most part, and for currently, I'm really content at coaching in my town where I'm 5 minutes away from my wife and my kids. And, you know, I work in Geelong for Cotton On, at her head office there. So my life's pretty neat at the moment, pretty tight. Do I want to aspire to coach? And my mind probably goes immediately to VFL or GFL.
Was Mick Barlow on the phone at all when he
joined
the Werribee
job? No, Mick can do it all himself. He no, we're pumped about Mick getting that job. But I think it'd be a real lift and a real, I suppose, demand on me if I was to go any higher. I think I'd like to be involved in my kids' sport, so coaching under-9s again this year. So, and to do that, I think I'd have to give away that potential of coaching at a higher level. I'm very interested in it. I love to coach kids that are aspirational, which I've got now at Torquay after a few years. So, yeah, I would like to. Just with the job security, though, it'd have to be, you know, a part-time gig or a voluntary gig because, you know, work's pretty important to me at the moment.
Yeah, the landscape's changed, hasn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
The last 12 months
have
changed things greatly. All right, you touched on Nico Farrell needing a hernia op. Yep. Is there anybody else that's going to make a delayed start to the year?
Yeah, probably Sam Wormald. We haven't seen a lot of him. Just had a baby, travelling to and from Melbourne for work. Pulling up a bit lame after training session. So he might be just a bit of a late starter, but I think for the most part we're going to be pretty fit.
Okay. Yeah. So you've got three practice matches, and barring any, have you sort of set yourself for what your round one team's going to be against Ocean Grove?
Yeah, we have. Again, it's around the point issue, so I think we've got still a couple of AFL Barn to come back to us with reductions of. And yeah, we'll find out from that point. But yeah, it's just going to be a juggling act. I've spoken to our leadership guys and committee and said it is going to be one of the most difficult years as a coach. One with the reduced salary cap of, you know, fitting under the cap at what it is now. And then two, the points that have come our way, because being in a small town, being in an area where there's so many football clubs, If a player comes to your area and people hear whispers, you feel obligated to call them.
Yeah.
So we haven't done a lot of that this year, but what we've got ourselves in a predicament of is being a holiday destination where people now live, have got moved for jobs. It's really difficult. Yeah. And you put yourself in the situation that I was 6 years ago where I was living in Torquay, and if I was living in that area, I wanted to play there.
Yep.
And if I travelled down the road and they said, sorry, Dom, you're carrying 5 points, we can't have you.
Yep.
It would have. I don't know what I would have done, because football was so important to me then. Yep. So, so that's what we've got to nurture through. There's 18 games and then finals, so we'll be fine. But I know every club is under that situation at the moment. And I just hope that everyone can, you know, beat to the same drum.
All right. You've got a massive season. You come into your sixth year as coach, is that right?
2015, yeah.
Yep. So sixth playing season as coach. Is the Ballerina as competitive, or do you think it'll be as competitive as it has been through your journey, that you're probably looking at seven or eight teams that have got legitimate claims on playing finals?
Yeah, I reckon you're right. I reckon there's spot on. The improvement has come from the clubs beneath that. It just pushes the clubs on top higher. I've seen every club improve since my time. Mottawarri, the example of, you know, they were a club where you travelled, always gave us a fight.
Yep.
You know, always, even had it over us at times. Yep. But they were seen as a club that did so well for what they had, and then they win a premiership, which people won't believe me, but I was pumped when they won it. It was, you know, it was great to see a little town similar to what I grew up in win a premiership. Yep. And then Bowen Heads have always been thereabouts. Geelong Ammos have peaked and troughed, and I think they're one to watch this year. And then you look at your Newcombs, who you know won a lot of games in 2019. Yep. So it has certainly improved. Are we at GFL level? No. But if the plan was to get us there, then the plan has to open up in regards to salary cap and point allowances and things like that. But you know, we had a little taste test of playing Grovedale the other day, who I think will be middle of the rung of GFL, not knowing it well enough. Young group, well coached, fast, big kids.
Yep.
And we got a taste of that, and I thought we held our own, and they were missing a few. But I feel that, it's certainly improved. And I feel like Torquay in itself, in its professionalism, in the junior program, the kids coming through are actually ready, and they're demanding a spot now. So, and that's certainly been the shift.
All right, Good Friday, Ocean Grove, then Geelong Ammos at Queen's Park, Drysdale at home, and Bowen Heads in a very, very tasty first month of football. So you get the preliminary finalists and the premiers, as well as Drysdale, who we think are going to be knocking on the door. And Ocean Grove are a bit of an unknown. They're going to be young, and we understand they're going to be quick. So it might be pretty frenetic on Good Friday.
Yeah, I reckon it will. And being round one, I think it will. And just reading out that fixture there, I remember we used to go through the fixture when I first started and said, okay, these players can rest here, these players can rest there. There's none of that now. So you can't monitor here and manage your players as well. You've got to roll in with your best side every week.
The days of Scotty Diamond being pulled up to the ones to play Newcombe.
Yeah.
Like you did.
He was very good. He was very good. Who else do we pull up? Brant Dixon as well for his round at the game, and he kicked four.
Yeah.
And then how do I drop him the following week? No, they were both superstars. It's to go back to your question before, it's a league that I'm really proud of to be a part of because of the growth's been, significant over my journey.
Where's your Ash Medal living?
In my little boy's room, actually. I was vacuuming the other day, and yes, I do vacuum every now and then. And
you got one of those Dysons? Because they're one of the greatest inventions ever.
Yeah, I do. Fantastic. Yeah, well, my wife does, and I use it. and she can vouch for me. I will get her to listen to this because I do vacuum quite a lot. I saw it there, and I thought, Sullivan, I hope you're looking after that for me. And but he is. He's got it up with his little Auskick trophies as well. So,
fantastic. Yeah. Dom, really appreciate you giving us some of your time. We've covered quite a varied number of topics with Torquay. There's always something to talk about. It'll be interesting to see how you do handle those points throughout the year. But once again, you've assembled a list that's going to have a decent crack at winning a Bellarine flag, and it's going to be a great season of footy, and we can't wait for Good Friday and watching your boys run out against Ocean Grove. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Keane. As I always say, K-Rock and yourself do a sensational job. How you put this together is sensational, so kudos to you. And we, as a club, really support, I'll really wrap with the support that you give us and the exposure that you give our club. So thanks, mate.
No, thanks, Don. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for listening to this edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch Up. For other editions and the latest local news, head to krockfootball.com.au.